Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to the Dudes on Hockey podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, it's been so long, I almost forgot what you looked like.
Yeah, me too. There's so much that happened, dude. This is going to be like an 8-hour long podcast.
Well, should we just launch right in?
I thought we were going to kill some more time because that's usually what we do at the top of the show.
We got so much to talk about, dude. We don't need any sort of witty anecdotes or stories about how you ran into Dan Boyle at breakfast.
Yeah, we don't need that story.
Wait, dude, tell the story.
So I ran into Dan Boyle at breakfast. Okay, next story.
Dude.
No, I was having lunch with a friend of mine, and we walk out of the restaurant, and I hear behind us, I hear someone call something, but they didn't say Mike, and I didn't quite hear him. And then I realized this person was yelling, "Dudes, dudes!" And I turn around, and it's Dan Boyle's wife, and she's like, "Dudes, how you doing?" So you know, I walk back, and I said, "Oh, you're doing
great." I'm gonna stop you right now, dude.
Yeah.
Dan Boyle's wife,
yes,
came out of a restaurant to stop you.
Believe me,
on the street, and who she thought was me.
No,
she said, "Dudes."
Yeah, well, she thought the other person was you. Maybe
I know.
Yeah, but I'm
putting myself in this equation since I wasn't there.
Yeah, whatever you need to do. But no one was more surprised to me that happened. Believe me, no one was more surprised. I couldn't believe it. And then she's like,
"It's
oh,
lucky
yeah.
that you recognized her."
Yeah, yeah.
What have you been like? What if you just kept walking?
I know. I believe me, I did think of that. But anyway, so we walk back into the restaurant, and there's Dan. I walked right past them on the way out.
Uh-huh.
It was pretty funny. So we spoke to him for a couple minutes, and you know, I left them to their lunch. I didn't want to.
Did he share any of his eggs Benedict?
No, he didn't. But I did invite him to Red Lobster. I was going to invite him to Red Lobster, but I realized he was already eating.
Hey, Shooter.
Hey, Shooter, you want
to go to Red Lobster?
I'll be there in case you want to be there later, Shooter.
That is what a great story.
Yeah,
that's
cool.
A good way to come back into the podcast. And since we both don't have tickets to the Prospect game this week, you should have asked. You should have asked him.
Well, I didn't know because we didn't have... I don't think we knew if we were going to get tickets to the Prospect game at that point.
Don't you think he'll be there?
No. No, I don't. So here's the question about this interaction I had with Mr. Boyle, which
yes.
He obviously he could not have been nicer. It was amazing. So this was after the draft. This was after the weekend.
Right.
And so I didn't bring you up exactly, but clearly you were very fearful that he was going to be moved.
I was.
In the weekend.
Yes.
And I was too. And I know that lots of other Sharks fans listening to this podcast were also fearful about that. I brought that up. Was that a mistake?
No, because I'm sure he's been thinking about it every day.
I mean, once I said it, I said, "Oh man, maybe I shouldn't have said
it." How did you say it? What did you say?
I say, "I have to tell you, I am so glad that there wasn't..." I didn't say like, "You didn't get shipped" or something like that. I didn't say that phrase, but I said, "I'm so glad that, you know, there wasn't any movement this weekend." I said, you know, I said something like, "I can't even imagine what it'll be like for you guys, you know, not knowing what's going to happen." And he's like, "Yeah, you know, so are we." And he said, "You know, we still don't know what's going to happen. You know, there's still, you know, obviously he could still be traded at some point." And I said, "Yeah, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm glad that nothing happened." And then I just said, "Oh, so what are you going to do with your summer?" Because I didn't want to I didn't want to make it like this really uncomfortable.
I feel 100% better about it. I've got to say that I think if it was going to happen, it would have happened at the draft or in and around this time where there might have been the ability for Doug Wilson to make some sort of major addition using that money. Mm-hmm. And I think that opportunity probably has come and gone where those types of big moves aren't probably on the horizon. And I mean, really, what are you going to do if you trade him? Like, you have a huge, giant, gaping hole in your team.
Right.
That you're obviously building around the same group of guys,
mm-hmm.
you know, minus Mr. Gagliardi, you know, which we'll get to in a moment. So,
well, and the other thing is news that's just come out recently in the past couple of days that makes it even more locked in, which is the fact that Brent Burns is now going to be a forward next season. which makes that hole at defense even larger.
Yeah.
If Boyle doesn't return.
He's not going anywhere.
He's not going anywhere.
No,
thank God.
Nope. Not going anywhere. Not going anywhere. We'll wear our shirts with confidence.
Well, that's my story. So that was pretty random.
That's a great story,
dude. Yeah, it was pretty fun.
Where should we start?
God. Should we start by patting ourselves on the back for calling the Rafi Torres deal?
Okay.
Okay.
Nice.
Next story.
I know we were ecstatic that he's back. 3 years, $6 million.
Yeah.
Great deal. Risky? Yes, sure. Because the NHL's got it out for him. And, you know, not that he doesn't deserve it.
No.
In some way. But, you know, he certainly made an effort last year to clean it up. He was sort of wrongfully persecuted at the end of the year in the playoffs. But if this guy can play the right way, he's going to be an outstanding addition to this team for the next 3 years. Exactly the kind of guy we've wanted, and now we've got him, dude. He's part of the core.
That's right. And the Sharks, I guess I'm going sort of in random order now, but the Sharks gained another player that can play with some edge, but a player that, you know, you talked about Gagliardi a second ago. So Gagliardi was traded, right, for a fourth round pick to Calgary, which is actually TJ Gagliardi's hometown. So good for him. I'm glad he can go back and, you know, be closer to family and things like that, because it seemed the Sharks essentially replaced him by trading a second round pick to the Penguins for Tyler Kennedy. What do you think about Tyler Kennedy, dude?
I think that's a really good move. I mean, you look at essentially you're replacing Gagliardi with Kennedy player for player. Mm-hmm. And as of right now, it's not close. Like, in terms of who's the better player, I mean, we talked about having to add someone who has the ability to score even strength. I mean, Tyler Kennedy has a track record of scoring 20 goals.
Mm-hmm.
With sometimes he plays with Crosby, sometimes he doesn't. So I'm hoping that the plan is to have Tyler Kennedy play with Pavelski and Rafi Torres. And I think that will be a very dangerous line.
I agree.
Very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
But if he needed to play with Marleau and Couture or Burns and Thornton, he wouldn't be out of sorts. You know, he could deliver. I have much more confidence in him scoring than TJ Gagliardi, who, you know, finding the net is a real issue.
It's a problem. And at least for Gagliardi, finding the lineup was an issue in the first half of the season last year.
That trade was a miserable bust. And I guess fortunately so far for Doug Wilson that McGinn appears to be a bust in Colorado, and Scarbosa and Connolly haven't turned out to be anything either. So maybe now that's just kind of a wash. You know, both those guys not on the team, and the Sharks are a better team today with Tyler Kennedy than they are with TJ Gagliardi.
There's no question. I don't think you can make a case that Gagliardi is close to Tyler Kennedy right now.
Now, at the draft, you know, there were rumors that the Sharks were in on Cal Clutterbuck.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up being traded to the Islanders for Nino Niederreiter,
mm-hmm.
which probably would have been a little bit more of a price than the Sharks obviously had to pay for Tyler Kennedy, which was a second. It looked like the Wild wanted a player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you're probably looking at, you know, the Sharks would have had to give up Matt Nieto or, you know, because Niederreiter, while he's been a little disappointing on the island, is still a highly regarded prospect.
Right.
So for the Sharks to have to give up Matt Nieto or Freddie Hamilton for Cal Clutterbuck,
I don't think you can put those two guys in the same class as Niederreiter. I think Niederreiter is a step ahead of those guys.
So
you have to do better than Matt Nieto. You have to do better than...
Right. So then that would have been way too rich of a price.
Right.
For a guy who, you know, hits a lot. I like Cal Clutterbuck. He's fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Doug Wilson did the right thing. Tyler Kennedy for that price. Good trade.
Yep. Okay. So let's talk about the draft then.
Okay.
Since we're going roughly in order, I'm trying to collate incoming emails at the same time. I'll see. I may just have to get to those when I get to those. But okay. So, you know, this year the Sharks had 4 picks in the first 2 rounds. They ended up with only
2
because they traded one for Tyler Kennedy and the other they traded up to the number 18 to get
Mirko Mueller.
Okay.
Mirko Mueller, defenseman. He's Swiss.
Right.
played for the Switzerland World Junior team. He's a strong skater, strong offensive upside. Obviously, they like him a lot because, you know, their whole thing, what they said was they were going to take the best player available. And he must have been rated pretty high for them because for them to move from where they
20
were
to 18.
20 to 18 and throw in a second to do it,
mm-hmm.
they were very fearful that he was going to be gone. And that's obviously the guy that they liked substantially more than whoever would have been there.
Mm-hmm.
So a little confusing. I think initially I was not very happy that they traded a second to move up two spots. But if Mirko Mueller turns out to be a good player, then we'll forget all about that second round pick. So I got to put a little faith in the Sharks here. And hopefully they did a good job by selecting this young player. The thing with the guys that the Sharks drafted is that really none of them are probably close to having any sort of impact on the team anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
Mueller will stay in juniors next year. Second rounder Gabriel Boudreau, Boudrau.
Yeah, Boudreau.
Big scoring winger. I don't think big, not size wise, but high scoring winger in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. But all scouting reports on him, he's nowhere close to being NHL ready, a project, a risk, could have a huge payoff, could also end up being, you know, Ryan Vesey, I guess.
Right.
So those are the first two guys. Dude, you have an email here?
Yeah, I got an email from Laura who basically said what you said. He said, when the Sharks traded up two spots to get Mirko Mueller, I found it hard to comprehend why they'd squander the 20th and 58th pick to get him. Why not just take a chance and wait two more slots? The only logical explanation is either he's that good or they suspected someone else was about to nab him. Turns out the Blue Jackets, selecting at number 19, may have been ready to pick Mueller because Mueller was the D partner of their pick, Ryan Murray, from last year briefly, and found some articles suggesting Columbus liked him. I think Ryan Murray might have been the number 4 overall or something.
Ryan Murray was the 2 last year.
The number
year.
2 overall.
So that's, Laura, that's really good detective work. And we've seen other teams do this. You know, Pittsburgh's done this in the past by picking, you know, both defensive partners from the Portland Winterhawks. And Columbus, you know, their new GM was an outstanding director of scouting for St. Louis. And if he liked this guy, that certainly makes me feel pretty good about it.
Right.
So I'm going to say, yes, you were right. Columbus was going to take him, and that's why we did it. Good job, Laura.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing is the downside about Mirko Mueller is that he's not that high of a scoring defenseman. I think he had 30 points in 60 games or something along those lines. So he's not just an offensive dynamo. And I think that I've seen a couple places, maybe someone posted in the comment thread on the blog, and maybe I read somewhere else, might have been the Fear of the Fin, that defensemen who don't score a lot in juniors tend not to make the NHL. Usually, they're so, you know, good defensemen when they're young are so good that they're scoring a lot at that level, and then, you know, a lot of them cool off. Like Marc-Edouard Vlasic, I think, scored at a pretty impressive clip when he was in juniors, and clearly now he's not an offensive defenseman for the Sharks. So there is some risk there, but you know what? There's risk with almost every pick. As I've talked about many times in the past, once you get out of the top five in the NHL draft, it's a crapshoot. It's essentially a crapshoot. So I think that the case is the same with Mirko Mueller. We don't know what this guy's going to turn into, but you can say that about every guy out of the top five, essentially.
Yeah, he's got good pedigree. He was on the World Junior team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he had 30 points, you know, in
for Everett.
For last year, but that was his first year
right.
of junior hockey. So, I mean, maybe we need to wait and see. I mean, this kid is 18.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be concerned in 2 years if he's playing junior and he's still only scoring 30 points.
Right.
What we want to see next year from this kid is for him to go from 30 to the mid-40s, and then we want to see him jump into the 50s, you know, his last year, 50s. And then you're like, okay.
Right.
Now here's the scoring.
Right.
His first year, dude.
And the other thing is I guess there are some possession and Corsi numbers. He played really, really tough minutes for Everett this past year. He was the number one shutdown guy for Everett. So, you know, if that's his role, then he's not that concerned about putting points on the board. No. So,
and he's 6'4". I mean, he's got height.
Right.
And you can't teach height. And maybe he can bulk up a little bit. He's a little thin at 185. So once he grows into his body a little bit, you know, we'll see. It's impossible to know, you know, if you've got Lucas Kaspar or you've got, you know, Logan Couture. But they obviously liked him enough to make the move up to grab him, dude. Let's keep looking here.
Well, dude, okay. Are you going to talk about picks?
I'm going to talk about picks.
Okay.
Frederick Bergvik.
Never heard of him.
A goalie. A little strange. I thought it was a little strange for them to pick another goalie.
But it seems like they've cut ties to two goalies now.
Right.
So Greiss is gone, right? So that happened, and it was sort of made known by Kurz and Pollock that Greiss was not going to be tendered an offer.
Greiss signs with Phoenix.
And then he signs with Phoenix as their backup. So Greiss is gone. And the other goalie that appears to be gone is Heemskerk to be gone.
Right.
So the Sharks have lost two goalies. So now they basically, in terms of the minor league system, there's two goalies that they're looking at. Stalock, who at this point, I guess, is still unsigned. He's a UFA.
Yeah, right now still unsigned. I keep reading that they're close to a deal. So, I mean, really, the Sharks right now have less than $300,000 of cap space. So I guess you could go over it temporarily. Hell, the Flyers have. But figure out a way to get under it, which may be putting Havlat on long-term IR, which we'll get to in a little bit. But still unsigned. Still unsigned. I mean, maybe they're sniffing around some of these other guys. Yeah. You know, I mean, with the Schneider trade to New Jersey, Hedberg needs a home, former Shark.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. I mean, maybe they'd rather do that.
But then why wouldn't you keep Thomas Greiss?
Because he's not that good.
But it's not like you're going to play Johan Hedberg that much, and it's not like Johan Hedberg's that good.
He's better than Thomas Greiss.
Is he really? I mean, sure. Thomas Greiss's numbers last year weren't bad. Yeah. Not at all.
They liked him so much they played him four times or whatever.
Well, that's because Niemi was having a Vezina season, and I think, and they thought, you know, and the
all
reason
right.
they got rid of him is because Stalock.
All right, dude. All
so right. I think they're going to sign Stalock, and maybe that's the reason why they drafted a goalie, because they didn't want the cupboard to be totally bare. Because now they pretty much have Soteri and Stalock will likely be the number two in San Jose.
And now the classic Doug Wilson run on college players begins.
Yeah.
Where they select a Minnesota University defenseman, a guy who's going to Minnesota University, Michael Brodzinski.
Yeah.
Gage Osmus, a defenseman who's going to be attending North Dakota. Jacob Jackson. I like that name. Doesn't sound like a hockey name. Sounds like a baseball name.
Sounds like a boy band name.
He's a part of Thin Ice, the boy band. Jacob Jackson.
The 98 Degrees sequel called 31 Degrees.
He's a Minnesota hockey player from high school. I think he's either going to be going to USHL or Michigan Tech next year. And then with the last pick, the Sharks select a Russian forward playing in the KHL, Emil Galimov.
Uh-huh.
20 points in 33 games, 21 overage player. Probably will never come to the NHL, though the Sharks drafted, you know, a former teammate of his. They both played for Lokomotiv.
Yep, that's and Laura also mentioned that in his email. So
he was and remember Sobchenko came to the United States and participated in the prospect camp.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't looking like he maybe would never come. So I mean, maybe they've got some sort of idea that this kid might be interested in coming to the United States.
Yeah. It's a late round pick. You know, it's all speculative at that point.
At that point, it's worth taking the risk.
So, dude, let's talk a little bit about, since we're still going in time, what do you think about the fact that Seth Jones dropped to number four? Because he seemed to be the number one. Colorado said that they weren't going to take him, which I guess I can understand. They wanted to go with a forward, but he drops all the way to the Preds at number four. Is that just an oversight, or is that just manna from heaven for Nashville?
God, it's so hard to know. The one that seems weird is Florida taking Barkov, right?
Yeah.
At at number two. That seemed a little strange. One, why don't you trade out of that spot? Because mm-hmm. there's, if you traded out of that spot, I mean, someone else would have taken, you know, Drouin or yep. Seth Jones there.
That's right.
They wouldn't. So you could have traded. I mean, couldn't you have traded with Nashville?
Yeah.
Or someone else and gotten. I thought that was a little strange. I mean, maybe that kid they took is going to be a great player. It seemed like a lot of people had them in all kinds of different order, but I'm shocked that Seth Jones fell to four. I think Nashville got a nice little present.
Oh, God.
The stars aligned for them after getting bent over by Ryan Suter and.
Yeah.
And what was looking pretty bleak for them, I mean, you know, Seth Jones, I don't know if they're planning on having him play in the NHL next year or not, but he sure seems like he could.
Yeah.
And if you're them, why not?
The thing about Seth Jones that's interesting is, you know, you get used to hearing sort of these phrases and terms used about certain prospects. And there's certain terms that, for whatever reason, I hear a little bit like a dog whistle that you don't hear very often. And one of those things that you don't hear very often is the term generational talent. And I heard that about Seth Jones, which made me, you know, take notice. Because that's not just something you say about, you know, you hear NHL ready, big body, likes to score, nose for the net. You know, it's like these are just like Pierre Maguire phrases that you throw around, you know. But generational talent is something you don't hear every day about these prospects. And supposedly some people thought that about Seth Jones. And the fact that this guy would slip to number four, I found very, very surprising. So I think Nashville got a huge windfall in getting this guy.
They seemed ecstatic.
How could you not be?
I don't know. I'm not sure why Colorado decided to pass on him. Especially with the whole story about how he grew up a Colorado Avalanche fan when his dad was playing for the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah.
So
it seemed like
the perfect story for them, for a team that really needs a lot of help everywhere. It's not like they have everything kind of sewn up. I think they might have blown it a little bit here, you know, but who knows?
That was such an opportunity to get the fan base involved.
Yeah.
You know, a local boy, you know, like you said, his dad played for the Nuggets. You know, he was the guy that everybody was saying number one. I mean, I don't know why the Avs wouldn't take that opportunity. I mean, they're in trouble. I mean, I'm sure, you know, the fans are, you know, they've been used to that team being very, very good, and they are not.
Yeah, it's interesting to look and see the track record of some of these elite players turn GMs and see that with Doug Wilson, you know, recently. Now, there are some very good players that have been GMs for a long time that a lot of us don't think of as players because they're so old.
Mm-hmm.
But Iserman,
mm-hmm.
Neuendijk,
yeah.
Brett Hull,
yeah.
All very questionable right now. Garth Snow.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say Garth Snow's an elite player, but a former player. I mean, Sakic and Patrick Waugh, they could look back on this in a couple of years, and this could be part of their pink slips.
Yeah.
If they screwed this up, you know, if Seth Jones turns into a Norris Trophy guy,
yeah,
then they could be in big trouble.
All right, dude. Do we have anything else from draft day?
Well, not from draft day. No.
I mean, we'll talk about sort of all the trades. I know there were trades on draft day. We'll talk about them sort of all in a big group at the end because most of them don't involve the Sharks. But I guess, you know, and then I guess we're on UFA day now. Is that where we are?
Well, a little bit before UFA day, the Sharks made some re-signings. I mean, they gave Desjardins a 2-year deal.
Right.
Desjardins.
Yeah.
I'm never going to get that right. James Shepard is back, 1 year, $830,000. Jason Demers gets a $1.5 million 1-year deal. Dude.
That's very surprising to me.
I thought that was very, very strange. And I also think it's interesting that Kevin Kurz keeps saying over and over again that Demers could be traded. He just keeps saying it, almost like he knows that it's coming.
Yeah.
He keeps saying it. So... Yeah. I wonder where he's getting that from, but that does seem very strange for a guy who hasn't been a contributor in the last 2 years to get a raise.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just a year. I never thought they would not tender him, but
that seems like, why? Like, is it really that much of a risk? You know, you give him $800,000. What's the big deal?
Well, I think because of what he made last year, you couldn't go backwards.
That's true.
But I think this was a little out of his salary slot, a little bit. I mean,
wasn't he making like 1.25 or something?
Yeah, but I don't think I don't know.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been 1.5.
Right.
I mean, they could have just gone to the next slot or whatever.
I think you have to give him 100% of his salary or whatever.
Oh, boy. Anyways, well, he's back and, you know, I guess fills that puck moving defenseman spot for the moment. I mean, I guess they're going to roll with Jason Demers, dude. So those were signings before UFA day, and the Sharks also qualified RFAs Patrecki and Marek Viadensky. They let Heemskerk go. They let Tommy Grant go. Big surprise.
Mm.
Yada, yada, yada. Now we're at UFA day, dude.
Yeah,
so.
UFA day, the Sharks sign existing players. They sign Tyler Kennedy, and they sign Scott Hannon to a one-year, $1 million deal, which I am not upset about. I can't say I'm upset about it. This is in line with his previous salary. It's in line with his ability, and it's in line with what the Sharks need, a depth defenseman.
I'm not a big numbers guy. You know, I just kind of go off of what I see. I don't think he was that bad. Like, it seems like some people thought he was just awful. And I didn't think he was awful in the playoffs. I thought he was pretty good, actually, for what he was being asked to do.
Mm-hmm.
He's a six guy. He's a number six guy. He should be playing 15 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
And hopefully not that much more than that. He can kill some penalties. He's not going to make giant, huge mistakes. And he can handle himself physically.
Yeah,
it's better than some of the other guys that we've had rolling in here to try and fill that six. Semenov, Colin White, Brad Lukovich, Jim Vandermeer. This is better. He's better than any of those guys who were brought in to try and fill that spot.
It's true.
And he's better than Douglas Murray. He's better than Douglas Murray would have been. Don't you think?
Yeah, he's different than Douglas Murray.
He's not a concrete pylon. You could just skate around.
Yeah. Douglas Murray is physically intimidating, and I think that has a certain amount of worth.
Sure.
And Hannon has none of that.
But the team was better last year after Torres and Hannon came in than they were with Klow and Murray.
Agreed.
So why mess with that? I don't necessarily know if I want him to be playing every night. And I still am hopeful that there might be some other moves in us,
right?
You know,
but some other thing going on.
We'll get to that, I guess. I think we've covered all of the Sharks players, dude. Do you want to look at the UFA list and then sort of talk about where the Sharks are headed?
Yeah, let me revisit the emails here,
okay?
Because I know we've got several. I don't want to leave anybody out in the cold. Questions at dudesonhockey.com, of course, is the email address. Let's see. Oh, we got an email from Andy about the new ownership group. Does he think that this will herald a big change in the way the organization is operated, moving from a relatively conservative ownership group to a plaything of a billionaire? They seem to have accepted 3 or 4 years ago they need to spend to the cap and didn't flatly deny the possibility of a buyout. But what other ways could this impact the team? So, I don't know, dude. Hasso Plattner, the new single owner, could he be the new Charles Wang? Hopefully not. But
well, I'm not sure what else you would want them to do. I mean, they've spent all the way to the cap. So, I don't know if that changes how they've been operating, but they certainly aren't afraid to give out, you know, $30 million contract extensions to Logan Couture, and they're probably working on one for Joe Pavelski. And Sharks aren't cheap, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't think the new owner is going to be cheap. They want to win. And do I think they'd be afraid of a buyout? No, I don't. I don't think money would be an issue. And if Havlat was healthy and didn't have, you know,
yeah,
sexual reassignment surgery or whatever he had.
I can't believe you said that.
Well, dude, he had like groin, pelvic groin. Did you see what?
Pelvic the, reconstruction. No, that's
so,
what it was.
I know. So what is that?
I think you were right. I think it's going to be Martina Havlat.
Martina Havlat's coming back.
That's not very nice.
No, it's not nice to say. And I'm that sounds actually rather quite painful.
Yeah, so it sounds very
I apologize for the cheap joke, but
it was just
no,
sitting right there.
No, it was funny.
Well, the only thing I think about when you have a single owner is that not that I think this will happen, because we've certainly seen no indications that it will. But it could actually make things worse, right? If you have a Charles Wang who thinks that all of a sudden he's the GM, you know, I don't know anything about basketball, so I don't know about the whole Mark Cuban thing, if that's like a good or bad thing for the team. But sometimes you get these owners and they own the team and they think that all of a sudden, because they have a couple billion bucks in the bank, that they know everything there is to know about hockey. And a GM job, just like a lot of other jobs, requires a lot of sort of down in the trenches work. Okay, what is this guy who plays for the Quebec Ramparts, is he any good? And the owner is not going to know the answer to that question. And if he starts driving moves, you know, player personnel moves for the team, that could actually make the team worse. I don't think Hasselblatter is going to do that. I don't see any indications that he will. As long as Doug Wilson or whoever the GM is has the reins to making the hockey decisions and the Sharks can spend to the cap, then this seems like a great situation.
Yeah,
from my perspective.
There's no indication that Plotner is going to be that kind of owner, and I don't think Doug Wilson would work for that kind of owner.
Well, I don't know about that, but I mean,
you don't think so? He
there's not
strikes
so many,
me as the cut.
There's not a lot of GM jobs out
dude,
there.
Dude, there's half the teams in the NHL would love to have Doug Wilson as their GM.
Okay.
Dude, I mean, like, if he quit because Plotner was being difficult, he'd have a job within 6 months.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
I wouldn't be worried about that. I don't think we have to worry about that at all. It's not the case from what we can tell.
Okay.
Thanks, Governor.
Thanks, Governor.
Good day.
Several people say that we're killing them with the lack of podcasts.
Oh, sorry.
Almost 2 weeks now.
Oh, my God. I apologize for going on vacation with my family.
Sorry about that.
Mike, I went on vacation with my family. Mike's hiking in the wilderness alone with men.
That's fun.
That's not fun. That sounds like a horror film.
Oh, man. Let's see. Oh, this is the email I was looking for. Sorry, Mickey. I think this is the email I was looking for about the Sharks defenseman not scoring a whole lot in juniors, and sometimes that doesn't mean good things will happen. Sorry, Mickey wrote this very involved email that I missed. Sorry, we're already past it. Too bad.
You did talk about it.
I did talk about it.
There's some interesting stuff there. Actually, maybe we can cut and paste some of that and put it on the blog.
Yeah, yeah, I think we should, because this is good stuff. Here's the other. He made a second point, which I think is worth commenting about, since we're still talking a little bit about drafts. Doug Wilson started the draft with 4 picks in the first 2 rounds and left with 2. And Tim Kennedy, Doug Wilson has shown a propensity for trading away draft picks in the early rounds. So I started digging to see how many average draft picks DW has made through the rounds as compared to the most recent cup winners. The results are as follows: Chicago with over 4 picks, LA with 4 even, Anaheim with 4, Pittsburgh 2.8, Boston 2.7, Detroit 2.7, and San Jose 2.3. That means Wilson had 20 less potential prospects to work with over his tenure than a team like Chicago. When is this guy going to get it? He might be the worst asset management GM in the NHL.
Whoa.
The Gagliardi trade emphasizes that point based on what we gave up to get him. As one of the longer tenured GMs and one of those few without a cup appearance, how long is DW's leash? One of our biggest continued problems is depth, and I think our lack of draft picks is what has hindered it. Sorry for the long-winded email. Okay. No need to apologize, Mickey. It's a great email. Let's talk about this. I don't think Chicago is a good comparison. Chicago went with a completely different model, which is I'm going to suck for 4 or 5 years.
Right.
I'm going to get Kane and Taves and Keith and all these top draft picks and then hope that works out and I'm going to win cups. And it worked out for Chicago. It worked out for them. Didn't work out for Columbus. Okay. That it's a high risk situation. I don't know if we can compare ourselves to Chicago, because the Sharks aren't going to tank it and see how many first, you know, high top five, top 10 draft picks they can accumulate.
Not with this management group. That's not their philosophy.
So I don't know if I really like that comparison with Chicago, because in 2005, Chicago was the worst team in the NHL. When's the last time the Sharks have been the worst team in the NHL? 1992? 1993, right. Maybe?
Yeah.
So that's not the way this team is going to be managed, and it's not really... I think Detroit is a team that is the comparison, right? I mean, we got the coach from Detroit. We have Doug Wilson saying so many nice things about Detroit over the years. Detroit 2.7, San Jose 2.3. That seems like the comparison. Yeah, it seems like certainly the... You know, you can't say it enough times how the Jamie McGinn trade does not appear to be good, right? I mean, that's the glaring failure on Doug Wilson's track record in the recent past. So, you know, I'd like to think that, you know, it's going to turn a little bit. The Sharks are going to hold on to a few more picks and a few more prospects. I mean, they had two picks in the first two rounds. That's a normal amount of picks in the first two rounds. So at least they're not trading away all their picks, right? I don't know. What do you think, dude? How short is his leash? Why don't you answer that question?
I don't think it's very short right now. You know, we've gone up and down in terms of as far as how the team's success has been. And right now, the Sharks are certainly in a better position to win next year now than they were last year during the offseason, where it looked pretty bleak. So getting a guy like Tyler Kennedy and trading a second for him, I think is trying to capitalize on the opportunity to win now. And Tyler Kennedy's not that old either. I don't think he's that old, right?
No, he's not.
He's in his late 20s, maybe. Yeah, so you're getting a useful player for a second-round pick, a proven commodity, a proven 20-goal scorer for a second-round pick. I think that that's actually pretty decent asset management. Now, trading the second to move up two spots to get a defenseman that, you know, there are some questions about, I don't know. I mean, we won't know for 4 or 5 years whether that was good or not. But a great email. Maybe we'll find a way to cut and paste some of this stuff.
Okay.
Love the stuff on William Wren.
Yeah.
Jeff Gilson.
Yeah. He's got a Dan Spang reference in this email.
Where's Lee Moffey?
Yeah.
Former Shark.
Okay. Where are we at, dude? I've completely lost my way now.
Okay. Well, let's look at a few trades, and then let's look at some UFA things, and then I just got a couple quick things I want to talk about. Quick things. I'm a liar. We're going to be here all day.
That's right.
Okay. Some surprising moves so far, dude. We've got Jonathan Bernier to the Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
Scrivens, Fratton, and a fourth.
Man, that could have been so much worse for the Sharks. I think we kind of dodged a bullet. There was talk about Matt Reed, talk about Couturier, talk about making the Kings way, way better.
Yeah.
I don't think this makes the Kings way better.
Yeah, it's kind of an odd return, I thought, actually, and there were some teams out there, I think, who thought they put better deals on the table. So, not sure. Evidently, Lombardi really likes Matt Fratton and feels like he has an NHL-ready backup to cover if Quick goes down. So, that must have been the priority, I guess.
Yeah, Fratton is the key to that trade, without a doubt.
I mean, Tanguay and Saric for David Jones and Shane O'Brien. I don't even think we need to talk about that.
What?
The dismantling of the Blackhawks.
Yeah.
Boland to Toronto for a second and double fourths, and Frolik to Winnipeg for a third and a fifth.
Yeah, I'm really surprised you trade Dave Boland. I don't trade him. I find a way to hold on to Dave Boland. He's a Rafi Torres type character. You don't want to get rid of a guy like that. You can't easily replace guys like that. That was surprising to me. I don't understand. For a leak, I understand a little bit more because, well, I guess they didn't keep Victor Stahlberg either. So, but I'm a little surprised they got rid of
Chicago lost Stahlberg, for a leak, and Boland. I mean,
that hurts.
That hurts.
Yeah.
That hurts them for sure. And they lost Ray Emery.
That's right.
They gained Nikolai Havi-Bulin. So
if you even want to use the word gained.
They gained someone who'll definitely splurge at happy hour.
Yeah, right.
Drinks on me.
Oh, man.
Okay. Corey Schneider to the Devils for the number 7 pick.
Yeah, that was the big trade because everyone thought Roberto Luongo was going to be the one who was going to get out of there. So clearly the Canucks have said, okay, I guess Bobby Lou ain't that bad. And he's really not that bad. He played pretty well against the Sharks. I mean, the Sharks won every game, but he certainly wasn't. I think it was a mistake for them to put Schneider back in when they did against the Sharks. It was to the Sharks' benefit, frankly. So number 7 overall pick, I don't know who they drafted, and I don't know if that player is going to be any good, but I guess you'd take it. I mean,
Vancouver is a sinking ship.
I know.
Yeah. With hiring Tortorella and all this stuff, dude, that's going to be a hot mess this year.
It's going to be funny.
And it's going to be funny because... Yeah.
The Sedins are going to hate him. Yeah, if they don't already, they're going to hate him.
It's not going to go well. How do they think that's going to go well?
Like Alex Burrows, Ryan Kessler, and the Sedins versus Tortorella? That's going to be some fun.
It's going to be... Yeah, they're definitely my pick for the team that's going to go in reverse quickly.
And Edler's gone, right?
No, he's still there.
Oh, he's still there?
Okay, this is the big trade, dude. Well, there were two big trades, but this is the big one. Seguin.
Yeah.
Peverly to Boston for Louis Erickson, and there are several prospects thrown around in here that no one probably really knows who they are.
Seguin and Peverly to Dallas.
Seguin and Peverly to Dallas for Louis Erickson.
Yeah.
And three prospects, two of them fairly highly rated.
Well, after the trade came out, there was a bunch of fun sort of tabloid-esque stories about Tyler Seguin, about how they had to... You know, keep him in a hotel with an armed guard or whatever to keep him from going out.
Did you see what was on Tyler Seguin's Twitter feed yesterday?
Yeah, wasn't there some sort of like homophobic thing?
He quoted a line from Full Metal Jacket.
Oh, yeah. The only... Texas steers and whatever. Yeah. I heard about that. And
then he goes, then 2 minutes later, darn Twitter hacking.
He somehow regained his Twitter feed in 2 minutes. Amazing how that works.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
So oops. And then also Dallas acquires Sean Horkoff from Edmonton for Philip Larson in a 7th.
Well, let's go to the Noah who's the Stars fan who emailed us again. Who's going to email us every year? Is this the year the Stars are going to be good? Your resident Stars fan here writing from Punta Cana? I don't know what that is. You called me out last season for wearing rose-colored glasses, but alas, I think this is our year to take a big leap up. The blockbuster dealer trading Louis and getting Seguin and Peverly, also picking up Horkoff in another trade. Not to mention, I think we got the second biggest steal in the draft after Jones with Nichushkin falling to number 10. Adding Gonchar will help with his development. Is this the year for the Stars to finally get past the postseason again, or will I be relegated to the shame of another playoff non-appearance? Noah, I think, you know, just as a stop clock is correct twice a day, I think Noah's hit it. I think the Stars obviously are better. I mean, the Seguin thing is a big question mark, right? But he's got something to prove now. He's going to be the obvious number one center. He's probably going to do better. He's not going to have to compete with Krejci and Bergeron and these other players in order to be the go-to guy. He will be the go-to guy for Dallas. So I think his stats are only going to go up. I like Rich Peverly quite a lot, actually. I liked him, actually, when he was on Atlanta. But I think the Stars definitely got better. I think Sean Horkoff's a good player. Maybe not as good as he once was, but I like Sean Horkoff as well. I think Dallas...
They added Sergei Gonchar too. Yeah. We can't forget that. They are better.
They
are better, and these moves make way more sense than Ray Whitney and Yager last year, which was just baffling and idiotic. Whereas these moves are calculated by a new GM who clearly knows what he's doing, right?
Yeah.
The bad news, my friend, is that you're in a new division with Chicago, St. Louis, Minnesota, Nashville, Winnipeg, and Colorado. So I wouldn't be scared of Colorado right now. Winnipeg is not bad, but they're not good.
They're not great.
Nashville is Nashville. They're always going to be competitive, and they probably got better. But you're
still
there
no scoring.
But Minnesota, St. Louis, and Chicago, that's a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, those are three teams that are better than the Stars. Maybe Minnesota and Dallas, it's closer, but St. Louis and Chicago, it's not close.
Right.
So, I don't know if you're a lock for playoffs. I don't know if you're a lock to move forward. Remember the new playoff format. If I'm looking at this right now and I'm projecting, you're coming in as the four seed in that, and you're going to play Chicago and nighty night.
Yeah.
Nighty night.
Even though Chicago's not as good.
No, but
still, it's not
close.
Know,
it's not that close yet. So, but definitely you should feel better about yourself.
Absolutely. And you know, they got actually really good return for Jágr when they traded him.
Right.
So that was another good thing the Sharks, I thought, did. They cut bait on Jágr at exactly the right time.
And there's word that rumors right now with some guys unsigned that, you know, they might be in on Dan Cleary, you know, so I don't think Dallas is done. Clearly, they're trying to continue to improve this team. Shall we look at some, Bobby Ryan to the Senators.
Yeah. Forgot about that.
For Silverberg and I guess a highly rated prospect and a pick after Alfredson leaves to go to Detroit.
Yeah. I mean, this is sort of a slow motion trade. It seemed like Bobby Ryan's been on the block for like the past 18 months or so.
Right. Does that soften the blow of Alfredson defecting to Detroit for the Senators?
Well, I think that the reason, I mean, Alfredson is a 38-year-old player. The blow of Alfredson leaving is not a hockey blow. It's a ego city. It's Steve Yzerman leaving Detroit.
So
right?
Ryan or Alfredson, who's a better player right now?
Ryan.
Right.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, they lost Silverberg, who's
good.
I like that player.
He's really good.
And probably is a better fit for the Ducks in terms of what they're looking to do than Bobby Ryan was on that second line. But Bobby Ryan, if he can regain that swagger that he had a couple years ago, that could be good times, you know, in McLean's system. Ottawa might have done okay here.
I think they did fine. You know, Silverberg is a really good player. He's not going to just immediately fill Bobby Ryan's shoes there. I still don't understand the Ducks, and when we do the season preview, I can't imagine me picking them to do anywhere close to as well as they did this past year. So, you know, I mean, I think the Ducks need a lot more help. We'll see how those prospects pan out. But, you know, it sounds like it was probably the right move for both teams, frankly. All right, dude, what else we got?
What else?
Some
quick UFAs, dude. I know that we're way over your preferred time.
You know. We have a tweet. From Evil Ducks podcast question: how much do you hate Havlat in his broken taint right now? It's a good question.
I mean, I think the key here is that what we've heard Doug Wilson say, without coming right out and saying it, is that basically Havlat is going to be on long-term IR, which is the same thing that the Bruins have done with Savard. It's the same thing that the Flyers have done with Pronger. And that the plan is that Havlat is not playing for the Sharks this year. There's no timetable for him to return. He's out indefinitely. Months and months of rehab, apparently, for his pelvic reconstruction.
Yeah.
So,
ow.
So he's out. He's out, and they will rehab him until he's healthy enough to be bought out next year.
Well, is this his last year? He's got two more years.
He's got two more years.
Oh, okay.
And if he's healthy, they buy him out. If he's not healthy, then he remains on long-term IR. So that $5 million, I don't know when they're going to acknowledge that they're going to spend that money. But I think they're going to spend that money. And reports out of Ottawa from our friend Matt's favorite reporter, Bruce Garriosh, was that one of the teams that called about Daniel Alfredson was the San Jose Sharks.
Really?
So if that's...
And Malkin got traded to the Kings.
Okay. But if that's true,
yeah,
then obviously Doug Wilson was planning on using that $5 million.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So I wouldn't count out an addition to the top nine forwards still. Because we needed three guys to fill in those spots. Hurdle is one of them. Tyler Kennedy was the other, and Gagliardi is gone. So who's that third guy? I hope it's not James Shepard. I hope it's not Tommy Wingles. It needs to be somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
Yeah. I I have difficulty hating Martin Havlat for some reason. It seems like he's just a guy whose body won't cooperate.
I don't hate him. I guess maybe we should all feel a little guilty, I guess, that he had this major injury, right? And we were mocking him.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't get pelvic reconstructive surgery because you're faking it.
Yeah. We should talk to Kurz. You know, I know we couldn't get Kurz before, but maybe I'll get him again because I want to ask Kurz about that. Because, you know, Kurz definitely had some pointed words about Martin Havlat, about how he was basically like, you know, voted off the island, and he had his, it was sort of like Office Space, you know, move your desk down to the basement and would you mind spraying for the cockroaches, that kind of thing.
Someone took Havlat's stapler.
Yeah. Excuse me, did I read the stapler? But yeah, so I don't know. I mean, that's just got to suck. I mean, pelvic reconstruction, that just doesn't sound comfortable. So I think there's things that you can do. You get his salary off the books. I believe, according to the new CBA, that you can still do the, what do they call it, compliance buyout next offseason as well. So they could actually buy him out and have no cap hit for Havlat
right
after next season.
Right.
So speaking of buyouts, dude, there's been a bunch of them. You want to talk about some fun buyouts that have happened?
Sure. Well, we got Briere got bought out by Philly. He signs in Montreal.
Yeah.
And then you've got LeCavalier, who got bought out by Tampa Bay and instantly became the highest, you know, ranked free agent.
Right.
And of all the teams he could have gone to, he chose to go to the Flyers.
Because they paid him the most.
Dude, someone else would have given him that money.
I don't think so.
Someone else would have given it. He got 3 years, $15 million, right?
Yeah,
someone else would have given that money.
That's true.
When you get released from prison, basically, and you have a choice of who to go and play for, you pick the Flyers? Like, yeah. I find that to be so fascinating because they would have been near the bottom of the teams that I would have picked because of just their wild dysfunction.
Yeah, it's true.
And while they've made some additions, they added Streit, they've added Ray Emery, they've added LeCavalier, they still have some major issues.
Yeah, they're still far away from the top Eastern teams right now.
Oh, man. I mean, and they have no room to make any real other additions or changes. They still have to, they've had to give up, you know, what, $23 million in salary to Brizgalov saying, oops,
yeah,
we blew it, right?
Well, at least they did one thing right, which is to buy out Brizgalov. It looked for a minute there like they weren't going to buy him out. That was clearly the right move forever.
No, they probably were trying to see if anyone would take him. The biggest ones here, I'm a little surprised by Tom Gilbert, I guess. I mean, I didn't think his contract was that bad and that, you know, this is a guy that you traded Nick Schultz to get.
Yeah.
And then now you plain old don't want him anymore. Seems a little strange to me. And the Grabowski one.
That got out of hand quickly. they brought it up a notch.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they knew that there was a problem, but they couldn't have traded that guy. Like, no one wanted him. He doesn't suck.
No, he doesn't. I'm surprised.
And he's still unsigned. I mean, yeah. So I don't know. Maybe there's some other issues with him that obviously wasn't very happy with management and coaching.
Commissaric. Yeah, I
Commissaric's already signed. Keith Ballard's already signed. That guy has been so bad.
I know.
In Vancouver, and
ball.
Minnesota buys out Gilbert and signs Keith Ballard. That's so weird.
That is odd.
Weird.
Yeah, that's weird. I don't get why would you buy out Hal Gill? You know, and it's not like that's a lot of money, you know. It's just there's some weird buyouts. Nathan Gerby for, you know, $600,000 buyout. Anyway, but I mean, DiPietro and Brizgalov clearly are the big names because they had like, you know, millions of years left on their deals. But I mean, DiPietro just couldn't stay healthy. You know, actually, in terms of dollars, $4.5 million for a goalie isn't that far out even today. You know, in retrospect, it's almost not that bad of a deal. But there's always a question: can he stay healthy? And he couldn't, so that made the contract bad. But if he was still a good number one goalie, That contract.
No, that's not a bad deal.
It'd still be in line.
If he can actually play.
Yeah, but he can't.
What are some other contracts, dude, here as we're, I'm sure, rolling into close to an hour?
Yeah, we're getting up there. So let's look at some UFA. So we haven't even talked about Ryan Clough yet. So we'll talk about the best and worst deals of the day. Ryan Clough gets a pay raise, a 5-year extension pay raise, the longest contract of his career, the most money of his career, after a season where he scores 3 goals, 2 of them on one day.
Yeah, dude,
does he have the best agent ever?
Yeah, that's a pretty incredible deal. I would say it is the second worst contract of the day.
Really?
Second worst.
Okay, what's the worst?
The Nathan Horton contract is horrible. That's horrible.
Yeah.
We got to separate Nathan Horton from being a good player, which he's a good player. He's not a great player, but he's a good player. Mm-hmm. But how many times has this guy been hurt and like seriously hurt? Concussion, shoulder problems.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy has missed significant time.
He's not even starting the season in Columbus, I found out. He's got a shoulder injury. He's not even going to be playing like the first half of the season.
They gave him 7 years. 7 years, $37 million, dude. Like, that is madness. That's just utter madness.
Yeah.
For a guy who you have no confidence he can even play a full season.
Yeah.
Which just shows with some teams how... I mean, I bet San Jose would have had to do the same thing to attract some of these guys to come here, because even though San Jose is a way better place to live than Columbus, you know, you'd have to pay way out of whack with other teams to get them to come to a less desirable location. And Doug Wilson won't do it. So that's why he didn't end up giving some sort of totally ridiculous deal. That's terrible. Now, and Horton might be good for Columbus when he's healthy.
Yeah.
But he's not. We're talking, this guy's like a 50-point scorer when he's good.
Yeah. I think Detroit overpaid for Stephen Weiss, too. Speaking of an old Florida Panther.
Yeah.
I don't like the Stephen Weiss deal. I think Detroit is Detroit's flailing a little bit. Alfredson, okay, he's a good player.
Yeah, I think Stephen Weiss is probably... I don't know. I mean, they obviously liked him better than Fippola, because they could have had Fippola for the same money, essentially.
I know, I don't know if I would. I would rather have Weiss and Fippola.
Well, they did.
Yeah, they did.
They did. So that contract doesn't bother me as much, because centers, good centers are always harder to find, and you know, in Detroit, you could see Weiss being more productive. But the Ryan Clough deal, because of the year he had last year, and it's not even just the production, but it's the health.
Yeah.
You know, coming off of, you know, how many concussions his scrambled eggs had last year. Whew, man. You know, and now you're locked in. You don't usually see Sweet Lou make those kind of deals.
No, it's not good.
So that's a bad one. The Clarkson one doesn't bother me as much. You know, I think
seems like too much money to me.
It is too much money. There's no doubt it's too much money, but I don't think that one is as shocking.
What's a good deal here, dude? Let's pick a good deal.
A good deal?
Yeah.
Aginla?
1 year, six?
1 year, $6 million. Shocking that he's going to Boston, but 1 year, $6 million for Aginla. That's a good deal. Cause I mean, you know what? If he's not, If he finishes the year like he did last, you know, this guy has way too much pride. He's embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be good. I think he's going to be good in Boston. That's where he should have been anyways. That's the better fit for him. That style of play, it's a better fit. And I think he knows that now. And that's why he ended up sort of tail between his legs going to Boston. I don't even think it's a full six. I think a lot of it's bonus money and stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of performance bonuses.
They got a pretty damn good deal. You tell me Jerome Aginla couldn't have got 5 years, $30 million from some sort of Yahoo?
But he's like 38.
But he's not 38. Is he 38?
Yeah, he's old.
I didn't think he was that old.
I think he's old.
That old? 36?
36.
You think Columbus wouldn't have given him like 3 years, $24 million or something dumb like that? I mean, I think he clearly could have got more money somewhere else.
Yeah.
But he wants to win. What else, dude, looks like a good deal to you?
I think the Victor Stahlberg deal is a good deal for Nashville. $3 million a year. That guy can easily be a top six forward.
Yeah.
I kind of wish the Sharks ponied up that kind of money and got Victor Stahlberg, frankly.
Scuderi to Pittsburgh, I think, is a good deal.
Scuderi is a really good deal for Pittsburgh.
I also like the... I don't hate the Michael Ryder contract, honestly, you know, for New Jersey, for a guy who we can make fun of him all we want, but all he does is score 20, 25 goals every year.
That's true.
So, I think New Jersey, if Klo can produce,
mm-hmm.
they did okay. You know, they did okay. What else? Anything else?
Anything else that's that amazing? I don't know if there's that much amazing stuff that else has happened, but
here's one. Matt Cook to Minnesota. I found that one to be really bizarre.
I mean, they need a guy like that.
Do they?
Because they lost Clutterbuck.
But don't they have Mike Rupp and Zenon Konopka, and now you have Matt Cook? Like, that just seems strange to me. Like,
that's quite a bit.
Not like Matt Cook's a better player than both those guys.
Yeah, okay. Oh yeah.
But now you've got this just kind of this weird mix of like three turds. You know, it seems strange to me. Nystrom getting $2.5 million. I mean, that's a lot of money for Eric Nystrom, right?
I think so. I thought so. I'm not excited that Mike Ribeiro's back in the division. Hate that guy.
I love it, actually. I think that's great.
He's annoying.
It's more fun.
It will be
more
fun.
It's good to have him close again, dude.
Michael Hanzu's got $1 million from Chicago.
That's
about right.
That's about right.
Yeah.
That's actually probably not a bad deal for him or for Chicago.
I guess he was able to produce, so there's that. You know,
he did well. I mean, he did well for them. So, I mean, certainly no ill will towards Hanzus at this point.
All right, dude. Looking forward. Okay. I think we've picked over this list. Mike Smith gets 6 years, $5.6 million. That seems like too much for me, man.
It is. But if you're
I think he's been like rattling around the league a little while, and then he had one really good season.
But if you're going to want someone to stay in a location where you're not even sure if the team's going to be there or not.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
I mean, you got to pay.
Yeah.
You got to pay.
All right, dude. So let's look ahead. What do we expect to happen here from the Sharks' perspective in the next month or so? Do you think anything's going to happen? I know Dan Cleary is still out there. You love Dan Cleary.
Yeah,
my take on Dan Cleary right now is there's way too much interest for him to come to San Jose.
Yeah, that's true. And I think he's going to get overpaid. I think Doug Wilson's going to wait. He's lying in wait right now. And he's waiting in the weeds. And, you know, there are some guys that are still unsigned that, you know, you brought up Mason Raymond. I mean, he's still out there. You know what I mean? He's unsigned. This is the one that caught my eye the most. Mm. All right. And I don't know if it solves any sort of issue. Manny Malhotra wants to play again. He wants to play again. He wants to make a comeback.
He's like Brian Berard. He's got one eye left.
You know Doug Wilson loves this kind of stuff.
Dude. Yeah, that's
true. He loves a good comeback. So
it's true.
I would not be shocked.
Him and Sandis Ozlinch on the line.
I'm being serious. I wouldn't be shocked if the Sharks gave him a very low-risk contract to try and come back, because the way they parted, remember, it was very good terms. Malhotra got a lot of money from Vancouver after the Sharks gave him the opportunity to revitalize his career.
And he did.
And he did.
Malhotra was awesome in
San
Jose.
When they've already done that one time, what makes you think they won't do it again? I mean, it's possible.
I like this idea.
It's possible. I mean, if he can play.
I'd rather have him than Shepherd on the fourth line. Hell yeah.
But he can play on the third line.
He could.
And then
you kind of want a scoring third line. I don't know. Is Malhotra really that?
Yeah, no, not really. But I'm just saying, don't discount that kind of move. I wouldn't discount that kind of move.
I like this idea.
And another player that we heard the Sharks tied to in trade talks last year was Brendan Morrow. And he's out there. He's out there unsigned, not going back to Pittsburgh.
I really, really like Brendan Morrow. Maybe more than I should. But I've always liked him as a player. He's exactly the kind of player. He's hard-nosed. He can score. He's got a nose for the net. oh man,
I'm throwing it out there that it looks like right now those two guys have kind of fallen through the cracks a little bit. Well, Malhotra has really fallen through the cracks because he's, you know, got one eye, right?
Yeah.
So, but we don't know. Maybe he has two eyes now.
I mean, he's still got two eyes. I just don't know if they both work.
Maybe one of them doesn't work. And I'm still not giving up on the Ian White thing. Like, I think that that's still possible. Doug Wilson's not going to go out there and overpay for a guy who had a bad year. But if he does move Demers, say he is able to move Demers for something,
mm-hmm.
and maybe... I think the plan is to use that $5 million. I think they're going to use it. And if you can use it on Morrow and Ian White and you get rid of Demers.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hello.
Hello, Frisco.
All right, dude. I don't know where we're at in terms of time. This time I just decided not to look.
Oh, 65 minutes.
65 minutes. Dude.
Well,
it's good times.
Good to be back, dude, and we'll try and be a little more regular, although I'm going out of town again, and you probably are too at some point. Oh, you're going out of town?
No. I'm not going out of town until the end of August.
Oh. Well, I'm going out of town next week.
Oh.
But maybe we'll try and get one more in before then.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay.
Go Sharks.
Bye.
Hate the show? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.